You're about to enjoy TryHards, courtesy of MTGCast.com. If you enjoy TryHards or anything else supplied by MTGCast, please make a donation. Whether it's recurring or one time, you can help offset the very real overhead of bringing you the best podcasts in magic every week. MTGCast at MTGCast.com.
Brian lamenting his boyfriend pick there.
Now, it could be because our research department is fueled by booze.
This is data. This is data that's easy to digest.
The icon would be Rosewater.
I just don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
That's a man who's just had his heart broken.
Pros make a lot of mistakes, too.
To realize just how bad I am at this game.
Oh, you brave soul. Joining us for another episode of TryHards, the post-Pro Tour Amonkhet episode. What did we find intriguing? What did we find interesting? And what did we find maddening? Some things are going to fall into all three categories. It's just the way we roll. Guys, let's get this started as we do each and every week. Sean Secrets, Brian Tibbetts, and Matt Hurley with What Are You Drinking? Matt, what are you drinking as we now turn towards summer after Pro Tour Amonkhet?
I am drinking the Terrapin High Five IPA. And I have to say it's pretty good. It's a California-style IPA, which I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I just know it's good. It's a lot lighter than normal IPAs are.
Brian, what are you drinking tonight?
I've got a little bit of a combination of East and South, I guess you would say. My friend Tom, as I've said before, brewed me four different East Coast IPAs, as they're called, with four different kinds of hops. So tonight's hop edition is Amarillo hops, named after Amarillo, Texas. So I got the East versus the Texas. And this one's really, really smooth, really, really fruity. Since it's still 80 plus degrees here in central Illinois, I'm enjoying the heck out of this.
Now, I was hoping those were named after Amarillo Slim, the famous poker player. But I guess you can't have everything that you want in life. I got something I had to pick up this afternoon. I went with a tried and true favorite because it is warm here, as Brian said. The Founders Session IPA, the all-day IPA. But, guys, I had the terrible experience last night when I wrapped up. I get off about 2 a.m. now at the new gig, working evenings, because that's prime time for that business. In Missouri and in Illinois, you cannot buy beer between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. during the week. So if you have a hybrid shift that gets off at like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't just go to the store on your way home and pick up a six-pack. You can't even do that at a C-store. I tried two places, and so I was frozen out for essentially my Friday evening last night. So I rebounded today, grabbed the Founders, and have been looking forward to recording this episode of TryHards. Guys, we know the pros had a big weekend in Nashville at Pro Tour Amonkhet, but what magic did you play, Brian?
Hurley?
Hurley?
That never gets old. That will never,
It doesn't. I think Brian played Onlooker for the Pro Tour. And we'll be talking about the Pro Tour.
I watched a shit ton.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that coming up in depth. Matt, what magic did you play?
No, I actually got to draft Friday night. It was a good time. I had some more drama. I described to you guys. I don't really want to go into it.
Yeah, wait, you said it was a good time, but that text was like 9 pages long that didn't sound like anything resembling a good time.
Yeah, it sounded like you were opening.
Did you really have fun after that? Because, I hope you really did.
Yeah, Matt, Brian, was it just me or did it sound like Matt was opening his own salt factory?
Oh, yeah, I could feel the salt just coming through the phone there.
You know what made me feel better was
I needed a pH balance on my end.
Like I said, I don't really want to go into it because anybody listening from the shop will know exactly who I'm talking about. Basically, his friend said, you know what, he gets like that. You just beat him fair and square, so don't feel bad about it. I'm like, great. The big positive experience was I did take first. I had what I would consider a pretty good deck. I did misdraft a couple of cards, and then I did actually make one misplay. Either way, I was probably going to win that game. The other interesting thing was I'm starting to get to the point where we have a core of about six people who are always the same people. They're like, do you like to draft cube? I'm like, if somebody has one, I will draft it. And so they have a cube team that actually gets together every Sunday night, about six or eight of them, and they draft it, and it's a fully powered cube. They actually do it at a guy's house, but I think I may be going over there on Sunday nights whenever I have time to draft a little bit of powered cube.
Oh, that sounds like it would be amazing. The combos you can put together, especially with a powered cube, always to me so much fun to let your Johnny side roll in that situation.
Oh, yeah. The one bonus there too is that he did say he didn't put Voltaic Key Time Vault in there, because I'm like, you know, that's just like one of the unfun just ultimate combos.
I'm surprised that you didn't start crying because that wasn't in there, from a guy who plays Storm Cauldron and Kozilek.
You'll never stop being salty about that.
No, that's my reason for having Assault Factory whenever I get together with Matt. The only Magic I was able to play this week, Rachel, my Magic Padawan, was able to get to a Saturday afternoon Standard event at our LGS. I don't know if they're doing another like Standard League on Saturdays or how that's working, if it's the Saturday Showdown back in effect. But she came by beforehand and asked for some help tuning and to get some quick reps in. She had put together, with the help of another player in our community, an Esper version of an Approach of the Second Sun, Rise from the Tides sort of control slash cycling matters deck. And the only black that was in there was for Grasp. And I said, well, we've got some removal options in white, whether it's the Escalate spell or whether it's the Destroy Target Attacker. And so by cutting black out of the mana base, we were able to smooth it out quite a bit. She enjoyed it. Ton of cycling cards. She was able to win one game with Approach of the Second Sun, she said, but overall went 0-3. So she's learning sort of when to continue to pursue something versus when to abandon a topic that you brought up that you thought looked cool, but it might not go anywhere. So it'll be interesting to watch her as she kind of works through that situation. That was the Magic that I got to play this weekend. There was a big, big-time Magic event not too far from us in Nashville. Hurley even contemplated going for a little while until he realized that he was on the banned list for this event. Yes, he was right there next to Felidar Guardian. I'll tell you who wasn't banned, Jerry Thompson. He wins Pro Tour Amonkhet over Yuya Watanabe 3-1. Zombies was able to rise all the way to the top as it took down Watanabe on his Marvel deck in the finals. Guys, there was so much to digest from this weekend. The basics that jump out to me after this weekend are, has Marvel now replaced Mardu Vehicles as the deck to beat in Standard? Vehicles was the number one deck by quantity on day one, but really fell off the map in day two. You also had the issue of coverage. We always talk about that, and I'm sure we'll get into it. And then there's what stood out to you. So as Jerry T continues to hoist the ugliest trophy in organized sporting events, Matt, what stood out to you from this weekend in Nashville?
The plan was to go on Sunday. Well, Saturday morning, I dropped off my work car to get an oil change. They called me up, and they said, hey, there's something wrong with your oil pump. So they couldn't fix that till Monday morning.
That's a bad beat right there.
I'm like, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. So I was a little disappointed. I mean, you know, it was only 2.5 hours away. The one important thing that you have to notice here, and I say this every Pro Tour, so anybody who listens will know, is you need to look at the decks that got 26 points total, I believe it was. I do think Marvel is not necessarily enemy number one, but it's one of the key pillars of the format right now. And so since that's the case, there's a lot of variance with Marvel, but I'm going to stick to my guns and also say that I think that Black White Zombies is the better overall pick versus Mono Black Zombies. Wow, is that Zombies deck cool, and is it fun? I mean, there was also some Red White Humans that was using the Exert and Always Watching, and so I also think that's going to be a deck as well. Plus, did you guys see that sweet, sweet token deck?
Yeah, I did see that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so it's a green, black, white token deck with Anointed Procession in it and Anointer Priest, and then it just pumps out tokens. It looks really awesome. It uses the green, black Eldrazi, that one colorless and green, black that whenever something dies, it scries.
Catacomb Sifter. Yep.
Yep. And it looks really awesome. Don't view the Pro Tour as just these decks are the best decks, because, again, it's very metagame dependent. From every interview I saw, the Pro Tour was very well put on. Everyone had a really good time. And then people also said that they were a little bit surprised by the zombie deck. Like, they had seen it posting results about a week before the Pro Tour. It was really nice that everyone was able to test, you know, about a week, week and a half on Magic Online, so that they could actually get their decks tuned and everything. Actually, I think it was closer to 2 weeks that they could test on Magic Online with a new standard. I hope that continues every day. But overall, watched as much of this Pro Tour as I could. Watched a lot on Friday because I worked from home most of Friday. And I got to say, I think Standard's a little bit revitalized now.
All right. Well, Matt was having No Pants Friday at home and collecting a paycheck for it. Brian, what was interesting to you from this Pro Tour? Matt made a great point. Wizards does a good job of linking the decks from Standard that finished with X amount of points because the Pro Tour of 16 rounds is 6 rounds of draft and 10 rounds of Standard. So you may have a great run with a Standard deck or something that might break out like Patrick Diekman's Jun Gods deck that didn't actually put him into the finals. But I believe he was, 7-2-1 with it along the way. So technology can be found sort of up and down that spectrum. What was interesting to you about this weekend? Because you said you watched a lot of it.
Most of the draft happened when I wasn't able to get to a computer. And obviously draft is something that is so skill intensive. And there were some people, Twitter handle? 40 Card Friedman. Ben Friedman
Ben
went
Friedman.
Like 0-3 in his first draft. He was taking his lumps along with everybody else, so sometimes that just doesn't work out. But so Standard really to me was where I was putting my energy on the stuff that I was able to watch. And it really was great just to sit down and see how many decks were very, very similar. So many people with different flavors of Tamer, Aetherworks, so many Aetherworks, Marvel in general. Whether you were running Sultai or the different flavors of Temur, I should say. And then the zombie decks, the white-black, the mono-black, etc. There is a lot to be found, as Hurley said, up and down the strata of decks. And it's true. If you go to the 24 to 27-point deck list, there's a ton of good stuff. But most of the people who made top 8 are down in the 21 to 26-point range, like you both said. This is definitely something where it's kind of a brewer's paradise to kind of look and see, okay, what did people play at this Pro Tour? This is a jumping off point. You know, this is kind of the old adage where this ceiling is now your floor. Take it from here. What can you brew to go into next week? And I think that's actually the great part about this game. And hopefully you guys agree with me and our listeners agree with me. This is not just a solved format in any way, shape, or form. And nor do I think that Mardu Vehicles is dead by any stretch of the imagination. It's just for this Pro Tour, Temur seemed to be the best deck out there. I don't think it was Zombies, to be honest with you, Harley. I think Temur Aetherworks is the deck to beat right now. It is got the big target on its back, and people have got to figure out how to interact with that card. But a lot of really, really solid play. Spinning that marble on turn 4 and cranking out an Ulamog is still a pretty gosh darn powerful thing to be doing. But it's not the only thing to be doing in Standard. And like Hurley, I was really, really down on Standard the last few weeks. And this Pro Tour, I think I agree with you, really kind of energized me. I would love to get down to the shop on a Friday night and sling some cards at FNM or play in a Standard showdown or something else like that. I think this is actually moving forward. There's a lot of room for brewers and a lot of room for a lot of different kinds of decks.
I'm actually going to build a Standard deck for this weekend since SCG's here in Louisville and my local shop is actually vending the one of the booths there. I'm going to build a Standard deck. I'll probably have a Standard Modern Legacy deck and then just play side events. And I'm going to try to take sweet brew or something. Maybe that tokens deck.
Well, Matt, I know you were excited about the zombie potential in Standard since we had the Google Hangout with some of our patrons a couple of weeks ago. And it'll be interesting to see where the format goes with that in mind. Not only did Jerry T win with the sweet awesome mix sleeves, by the way, powering him to victory. But
zombies, God, those were awesome.
Yeah, they were. Zombies is a very popular sort of tribe when it comes to Magic. So I think a lot of things will take off and there'll be some innovations there along the way. There's another topic that I want to get into, and this has to do more with how casual viewers watched some of the coverage over the weekend. And I'm going to start with Matt because I've delayed on this long enough. We have to hand the crown to Matt. Matt won the Tryhards Pro Tour Pick'em over the weekend. He had Owen Turtenwald, who came in 18th, Brad Nelson in 22nd, and BBD at 163rd for a team total of 203. I was second, right on his heels with 228 points. Reed Duke in 20th, Lucas Blohoon at 99th, and Travis Wu at 109. I was actually ahead with a few rounds to go, and then Travis Wu and Lucas Blohoon took a couple losses at the end. Reed Duke lost playing for top 8, so I think through 14 rounds, I was on the cusp of setting a non-Tibbetts LSV-powered record for one tournament, but a couple of losses there in the last couple rounds actually dropped me down a bit. And Brian's BFF cost him the entire scheme this weekend, Matt. Did you know that? You with 203 and me with 228. Those were both team totals lower than Marcio Carvalho himself finished in 353rd place.
I did notice that. And,
I know.
I also saw the text message from Brian lamenting his boyfriend pick there. So he's just going to have to deal with that one.
Sometimes
I'm going to have to deal with that one. It's funny, though. When I checked Wizard's site, you know, Monday after my breakup letter to him, it was long. It was involved. There might have been some tears on the pages before I mailed it off. He's still in first place overall.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well,
how do you have that poor of a showing at a Pro Tour and you don't drop from the top spot? So I guess, you know, you can just crash and burn at a Pro Tour, and I don't think we can call it anything but that, crash and burning, and still retain the top spot in the world. So go figure.
That tells you how big his lead was in those standings. So
that's true.
That's where you have to tip your cap to him for being the amazing player that he is. So Matt, coming in first in our Tryhards Pro Tour Pick'em for Pro Tour Amonkhet, I'll lob this conundrum to you. So the first standard match that I really got to sit down and watch on Friday was featuring the New Perspectives card. I'm going to make a bit of a sports analogy here, so if you need some help to understand this, go ahead and let me know. For the inexperienced Magic player who is watching a New Perspectives match, to me, it felt a lot like watching Floyd Money Mayweather box, in so much as it's very technical, and that most players won't ever have the ability to leverage what New Perspectives can do, much like most boxers, amateur, pro, or otherwise, don't have the chops to box the way that Mayweather does, defensively, technically. We can all relate to the Mike Tyson theory and understand aggro, aggression. That's why Tyson put butts in seats and eyes on TV, and I think that's what Wizards wants the way they've taken the game with the New World Order. They want permanence on the board, and they want to reward permanent on-board aggression. Is a card like New Perspectives and the way it was kind of showcased right out of the gate this weekend, is that helping to build the casual audience for Magic? Or did Wizards kind of misfire by choosing that as a way to showcase cards from the new set at Amonkhet?
As soon as you said that, I laughed because I got that analogy. I knew where you were going.
I'm so proud of you.
I had a decent drive today, and I was listening to Leaving a Legacy. This ties into New Perspectives because they were talking about the banning of miracles and how some of the best miracles players in the world have said, I've not once in my thousands of miracle games played that deck 100% right. That it's such a technical deck. It's very, very difficult to play, and your first choice impacts what you do turn 20. I think that New Perspectives is exactly the same. I think it's going to impact every single format, maybe minus Vintage. It's a very, very technical deck, and like most control decks, it's not going to be exciting to watch for people who don't know what the game is about and how the game is working. They're moving more towards you, like you said, Sean, you know, a board presence where it's comfortable to watch, and they don't want kind of an abstract feeling of, okay, how come player A has 70% advantage to win this game when player B has a huge board presence? I don't understand what's going on here. It's another reason I want to build stuff in standard, and I also want to obviously troll people in modern. I really want to restore balance somebody in modern, and the previous version was terrible, but the new version with New Perspectives looks like it's a ton of fun.
It should be a ton of fun to see what the community does with New Perspectives over its lifetime. Brian, different question for you. We had to hand out our crown for Pro Tour Amonkhet without considering the team points so far, because Wizards has made it so difficult to find those standings, not the overall standings for the Pro Tour team series, including Dublin and Nashville, just the standalones for Nashville, that we weren't able to run those down before the show. Now, it could be because our research department is fueled by booze and not entirely dedicated to what's going on here on Tryhards, but it could also be the fact that Wizards, after much ballyhoo, hasn't placed much of a value on the team series. And by that I mean, when you click on the Pro Tour coverage on WotC's homepage, and there's a page that says Final Standings, nowhere on that page is a link to the team standings. For a new variety of Magic organization, coverage, and rating that Wizards put forth with the Pro Team series, they really haven't even come close to beating us over the head with it, other than some of the puff pieces that Brian David Marshall did for the Pro Tour. And we'll get to some of those in the actual coverage discussion coming up in a minute. But Brian, has Wizards sort of fed us a line here about how important pro teams are going forward? Or is this just something that they don't know how to reconcile yet with the format that they're using?
They might not know what they have on their hands, because you should be able to manage this better. I equate this to something like saying after the Olympics, hey, who won the most gold medals? And you should be able to get that information pretty quickly, right? It's a quantifiable fact of what happened. And all we get from Wizards is this little asterisk on the page that says team series leaderboard updates for Pro Tour Amonkhet are unofficial at this time. Standings will be finalized by the end of the week. And I'm thinking, what do you possibly have to finalize? I have no idea. Everyone knows the results of every single one of those matches. That went in to determine who won Pro Tour Amonkhet. So therefore, if we know the results of those, what could you possibly have to finalize all this time? Now, granted, you know, we're recording, what, Tuesday after the Pro Tour? I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, maybe the people are tired. They've got to pack up and come home and get all that stuff ready. But at the same time, I'm thinking, no, this is data. This is data that's easy to digest, and you just kind of plug in the numbers and you figure out where the teams are. I don't remember this kind of lag time after Pro Tour Dublin. Do you guys? I don't think we had a delay after that, and I'm just trying to figure out, is there something else to this? Because we should have these results, and A, I want to know, did I do okay? And B, if I lost, fine, I lost big or smaller than I thought. But yeah, it seems like Wizards should be all over this, and this should be one of the first things that gets reported after this if you're going to hype up this large of a new segment, like you said, Sean.
Well, Brian, just to take all hope away from you and dash it on the rocks, if you add Matt and my scores together, you're still 100 points behind. So you need to concentrate on Pro Tour Hour of Devastation, I think.
I got to just rewrite that breakup letter is what I got to do.
Maybe that'll help you out going along the way. But it is interesting to see how much Wizards hype that. And I thought that was the real hole in the coverage over the weekend. Guys, we always do talk about the coverage itself. For me, I really enjoyed the integration of Maria Bartholdi into the coverage and commentary team, mostly at the news desk. I thought that what they did in presenting it live was fantastic. They still need work on the non-live pieces, which should be the easiest ones to knock out of the park, because you can pre-produce them ahead of time. The professor at Tulane Community College did a Tulane Win segment about this. I'll link that in the show notes. You can check it out. He comes at it from a different perspective than I would as a broadcaster, but I think he hits most of those things on the head. So check it out. You've got to do more to entertain during what is considered, quote, downtime, meaning you don't have any live matches going on. I think they have to get more from their live coverage team, and they also have to get more as far as the pre-production that goes into it in order to keep the not only entertainment value, but the energy level rolling throughout it too. That being said, they've made some great leaps over the last 18 months, 2 years in how they present it. So two thumbs up for that. What was really raw and to me very revealing are the two solo videos that were shot over the last 48 hours. Guys, I don't know if you saw this, but PVDDR went back to his hotel room on Sunday night after the Pro Tour and shot a very revealing, very heartfelt What Went Wrong video for Channel Fireball and posted that right away on Sunday night. And he talks about the mistakes that he thought his Channel Fireball team made during testing, how you have to sometimes recognize that you can't break a format because there's no game breaking technology to be had, and you have to settle for making the best improvements you can to some existing technology. And then today LSV had his State of Standard, and it was really interesting because he sort of reiterated, Brian, what you were talking about earlier, that you have to believe this is the floor and not the ceiling of the new standard environment. Matt, did you get a chance to see either of those or the fallout from them? And are you interested in sort of that raw reaction after a big event like this?
You know, I like the raw, unfiltered reaction. I did see it. I mean, you could tell that PVD was very, I wouldn't say upset, but he had been beaten down. I mean, he was taking it in stride. You could definitely tell that. But he was definitely affected by, you know, basically the entire Channel Fireball Ice team about where they kind of went wrong. But no, I love those Raw reactions. I like them kind of posting this, and I like that they're putting this stuff on the main page as well, so that even if it's not professionally created by Wizards, it is getting recognition as well. And then as far as the production value on the Pro Tour as a whole, this time they took it up a step for sure. There was one particular piece, which Sean, you'll have to remind me. We were texting back and forth about it. Was it the Walking the Plains cosplayer?
It was the Walking the Plains version of the Magic Content Creators that was
content
so good.
Content Creators.
Yeah.
Yes.
They had your boy Paul Chian on there. They had the professor. They had a couple of people on there.
There was one comment that the professor made, and I think that this is what people don't recognize. And this applies directly to you, Sean. He said, for every hour video I make, I probably have between 15 and 20 hours of work on it. You know, for every hour podcast we make, Sean, what do you have as far as editing? Like, not even video editing, just voice editing, what, 4 hours?
Every time we go an hour until it's ready for public consumption, meaning it's posted and all the show notes are done and everything, about 4 hours.
I mean, most people just think, oh, you know, you record a podcast, you throw it up. And a lot of people do that. But those, not to talk down about those, but those are typically the ones that don't immediately succeed. The ones that have the good production value, have relevant topics, are the ones that, you know, kind of rise to the top. And same way with the content creators. You know, they talk about, even Chian was talking about how, you know, he was being affected by sitting in front of the computer all day, and his only social interaction was with his wife and his kid, unless he, I think at one point he said, unless he got heckled by LSV for some reason. I really like that. And the content in between, I really like now that they're also touring the local cities. They had a couple short segments where they kind of, you know, went around Nashville and said, hey, here's Nashville. They went to some of the pro players' houses where they were testing, you know, talked, did some interviews on site there. So I really, really like that. It gave you a better feeling of, hey, this isn't a sterile pro tour environment. It's, you know, these guys come here for a week. They're interacting with the community locally. This is kind of where they're at. And then this is what they're doing when they're there. But overall, a great pro tour.
Yeah, you were searching for a way to describe BVDDR's emotion and kind of look on his face, and as somebody who's been where he is and recognizes that look, that's a man who's just had his heart broken. I can tell you,
absolutely.
that's what that look is, Brian. When you look
it
back,
was
at
a great video though.
It was a great video.
I mean, it was heart wrenching.
It was brutally honest and it was emotional, and it's one of the reasons that the community holds him in such high esteem, because he gives us those looks into what's going on. Brian, fallout from this or from coverage, what's your kind of thought to wrap up this Pro Tour?
Coverage was great overall, and you're absolutely right. Maria Bertoldi did a great, great job. I think the coverage team is finding their stride. You know, this was the first time that I really didn't ever even ask the question, like, where's Randy Buehler? They have so many people who are just at the top of their game, I think, and LSV is kind of the anchor for that. Rich Hagan, of course, is just rock solid the whole time. Brian David Marshall, just kind of the mainstay thing. I have absolute faith that they're just going to keep that talent pool, you know, grinding. PVDDR was one of my picks to do really, really well here, and so I feel kind of chagrined that I have not yet seen this video. I'm going to have to look that up afterward, because he is the kind of guy who I would love to see what his, you know, raw reaction to not doing very well is here, because I think my heart was breaking along with his as I realized my chances of doing well were going down the drain very quickly on this Pro Tour. But overall, Wizards did a phenomenal job with this. I thought the coverage was great. And, you know, if they keep wanting to top themselves, this is going to be a pretty gold standard.
It's always about you when you're thinking about that. But that's all right. You were worried about your team picks. So let me ask you the final thought that I have on my mind after this Pro Tour. Brian, I'll start with you. Just real quickly, does anything need banning in standard after what you saw this weekend?
Boy, I really don't think so. I would love to make sure that, you know, we have a chance to brew before they do something, because the only thing that could come out of a banning, I would say right now, would be Aetherworks Marvel. That's the only card that really engages in some of the quote-unquote broken plays. out there. Nothing in zombies, you know, it's kind of like banning one card out of Merfolk or one card out of Elves. The deck can still survive kind of thing. So I hope it doesn't happen. I really, really don't.
Matt, do you see any bannings coming up on the next banned and restricted announcement?
I don't think we really need one. Again, Marvel is obviously the target, but once Ulamog cycles out in whenever it is, September, October, as long as we don't have some ridiculous big enter the battlefield fatty, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, if you're Marveling in Gearhawks, yeah, that's awesome. That gives you extreme advantage, but it's not the just overwhelming I win in two turns that Ulamog is. So as long as we don't have those, we're fine. And that also means that Nicol Bolas has to be a planeswalker and not, they can't just reprint the old Nicol Bolas creature.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if anybody would go for that. Although I would love to see the art again of a dastardly, hard-bitten, bespectacled reader going after a universal multiplanar domination, I guess the word would be. That was the tournament this weekend, the Pro Tour in Nashville. This weekend coming up, GP Montreal is going to be standard, and then SCG Louisville. This is the team event of combined formats. We originally had planned to do this, but life kind of got in the way, and we had to withdraw late. So, guys, I'm going to put it to you one more time. We had already decided what formats we were each going to play. Matt was going to be our standard player, Brian Modern, and myself Legacy. I'll ask you, if we were going to be able to play this weekend, what deck would you be playing for your respective format? If we were going to play, I'd be playing Reanimator in Legacy. Brian, what would you be playing in Modern?
I would be playing my new pet project, which is Eldrazi Tron. I think the big decks right now just can kind of overwhelm the smaller decks. I know how powerful, you know, Death Shadow really is, but Eldrazi Tron to me seems like a really, really good pick.
Matt, what would you be playing in Standard after what you know from the Pro Tour? And it's probably Zombies.
I was going to say it'd either be Black-White Zombies or the Green-Black-White Tokens list that was running around. It'd be one of those two.
It'll be interesting this weekend to see no restrictions as far as team building events go where you can't have copies because of the multi-format situation. Everybody's going to have everything available to them in their format, so this should be a lot of fun to watch it unfold. Somebody who won't be in charge of having things unfold for Wizards very much more is Hélène Bergeau. Bergeau tweeted that she's leaving WotC after 20 great years, two decades of heading up WotC, the last few years as Global Director of Organized Play. That's a mouthful, and she did a great job with it. Matt, you were the one who pointed this out, and I know you've got some thoughts that you continue to grind through on WotC, not only as the purveyor of the best game ever made, but also as a corporate culture and what this may say about them. I don't think you have any inside information.
I don't have any inside information. You know, she seemed to be very liked in the community. I mean, I had nothing bad to say. Obviously, she was, you know, the PR person for Global Organized Play. I think this could be maybe the first step in, or a middle step in, kind of not necessarily cleaning house, but changing the corporate culture. I've complained at length on this podcast about the corporate culture there. She was kind of the old guard. So, you know what? I wish her luck in her next one, but it wouldn't surprise me if in the next few months we see another major change up. I mean, we already had Worth Warper leave, and maybe the next one's going to be Rosewater. I don't know. I mean,
wow, that would be a shock to the system if Rosewater went.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That would be the final straw of cleaning up the corporate culture, because if there's somebody there that probably is, you know, kind of the old guard, the icon would be Rosewater. Not that I hope he leaves, but if they're looking at changing a lot of things behind the scenes, sometimes you got to get fresh blood in there.
Do you think he's a straw? I mean, like a full-size straw? I think he's more of a swizzle stick, isn't he? He's a smaller guy.
I would say he's probably like a rainbow-colored swizzle stick.
Hey, but he's been great for Magic, and at least for card design. It hasn't been all of his, obviously. They have a whole R&D department, but you can definitely tell what the Rosewater era has been and the enormous effect that he's had on this game. And we'll have this conversation again in the future sometime. The Magic Hall of Fame has to expand to take into account people who have had such outsized effect on our game, and not just those who have played it at the highest level. As we get into some other news this week, Matt, you also brought up the Weekend Magic Online Challenge, the way it's set up now. You're the one who's been digging into Magic Online. What are you looking forward to?
I like that they're now going to have on Sundays, they're going to have Legacy, basically a Legacy, you know, what used to be called the challenges. I don't know what they're being called now, but they're going to have that with a higher price payout every weekend. They're going to have Vintage. I believe they're going to have two Standard and two Modern as well. There's going to be, I think, a little bit of an uptick on the Legacy scene, probably a little bit of an uptick on the Vintage scene as well. It'll be nice to have a real competitive where, you know, you go in and you can win. I know first place was like a full set of the latest set, I believe it was, and like 50 treasure chests. I mean, it's not a small tournament by any means. The minimum was 8 players, if I remember correctly. It's just a nice, you know, semi-large tournament to play in that's not a PPTQ.
Be interesting to see how that continues to unfold. I've been thinking about downloading the Magic Online and getting going with that. I really have been because my ability to play a lot of live Magic has been curtailed lately with the new gig. So we'll see as that wrestling inside my soul continues and whether or not I choose to go that way. That's going to do it for our news from around the world of Magic this week here on Tryhards. But that means we've walked all the way across the lobby, grabbed our complimentary drink and warm cookie. And before the cookie monster eats him, we'll have him tell you what he's got on his financial mind in the elevator.
Chandra Flamecaller. She is currently about $6. I think this is the card that's going to help beat down the zombies. I would say pick her up, or if you have her, they've recently been $350. Just wait for her to climb a little bit towards 10, and then dump them when that happens. I do see this hitting 10 in the next couple weeks, maybe the next month. But remember, it does rotate in the fall, and this obviously is a 6-mana planeswalker. She is not going to see any play after that.
Chandra Flamecaller in the elevator. Her price point has been all over the spectrum
for
the entire time that she's been in Standard. So it'll be interesting to see if she goes out with a bang after being reintroduced, it seemed, in some of the tamer Marvel decks at the Pro Tour this weekend. That brings us up to 3 minutes to brew this week on Tryhards. Brewmaster, serve it up.
What I'm going to throw out to you tonight is just a little off kilter because we've got two basically new decks who entered the scene after Pro Tour Amonkhet. We've got the Mono Black Zombies or White Black Zombies if you're in the Hurley camp, and some flavor of Aetherworks Marvel. Gentlemen, what is the card in Standard that can best dethrone one of these two top decks if we're taking Mardu Vehicles out of the picture? I'm still not convinced that Mardu Vehicles is a deck that is out of the picture, but based on the results from Pro Tour Amonkhet, I'm going to say for right now, we're going to just kind of stick it in the third place behind these top two. So if you see a card or a deck type that can dethrone these top two, what would it be? Sean, I'm going to ask you first. Card or deck type that's going to dethrone either Zombies or Aetherworks Marvel, what would it be?
There's a particular card that I was surprised we didn't see more of this weekend. And we don't know the entire testing process that the teams go through or how they decide to eliminate cards along the way. But I got to think it's Torrential Gearhulk. Give me a Torrential Gearhulk shell right now. Probably blue-white, maybe blue-black, that can handle that black zombie onslaught early. That's why I say white. You might need Fumigate to clean up and gain you a few life along the way. Maybe it's the blue-red spells deck so that you can just splash a color to get your flames for 3 going, because that seems to be the key number to kill off the zombie horde that develops early on the other side of the board. Any kind of Torrential Gearhulk deck that won't fall too far behind will just overwhelm the linear decks, the tribal decks in the long game. So give me something that effectively uses Torrential Gearhulk.
Hurley, what about you? What do you think the most impactful card's going to be moving forward to dethrone these two, or the most impactful deck type?
So I think the card that is going to be key moving forward until Ulamog is out is Anguished Unmaking. The Exile Clause on that, and that's why I'm so big on Black-White Zombies, the Exile Clause on that is amazing. Yes, it sucks getting two key cards exiled. Anguished Unmaking is going to be key to eliminating once it's on the battlefield, and then any of the Lost Legacy style cards are going to be key to, you know, destroying the decks, the Marvel decks, before they can play it. Now, we did see at the Pro Tour where Lost Legacy happened, and you know, he took out the Ulamogs and he took out the Gideons, I believe it was, or whatever flavor he was playing, his opponent was playing. He took out his two most powerful cards to hit off Marvel, and that Marvel player still won the game. So I think the Lost Legacy, not necessarily a trap, but it's easy to fall into that trap. But I definitely think Anguish and Making is just what you need just to be able to exile the damn Ulamogs once they hit the battlefield.
Sean, I tend to agree with you, however. I think a Torrential Gearhulk deck is going to be the deck that is going to keep these other decks in check. Not just because I've been running it for a long time, but I was very, very interested to see how this would go. And the top finisher, Peter Viren, had actually a very, very good, solidly built, solidly edited deck list from Pro Tour Amonkhet with three Sweltering Suns. I think that would easily take care of all the zombies that could enter the battlefield. But the Torrential Gearhulk power, once it hits the battlefield, I think cannot be ignored. So I'm looking forward to seeing if that holds true as we approach Hour of Devastation in the fall.
Should be interesting to see where the builds go now that we have that new floor. Starting point, to use some nomenclature that Brian would be familiar with, the sprint blocks. We're in the starting, the blocks for standard. We're about to shoot the gun at GP Montreal this weekend to see what that race until Hour of Devastation is released will bring us here in standard. And yes, a Anger of the Gods, Sweltering Suns type card, I think is going to go a long way. I've been experimenting with a blue-white tiny splash for red list just because I want Nahiri in there, but I may be willing to rewrite that if it's going to be a zombie world just to run Sweltering Suns because you can cycle it. Yeah, it costs three, but that means it's never a truly dead card in your hand. So it'll be interesting to see where everything goes. That brings us up to what we did to get better at Magic this week. For me, it was just what I talked about in the intro. Helping someone else tune their deck. I also have a companion at work who I didn't know was even interested in casual Magic until just a day or two ago, and we were talking about his EDH deck, and I said, look, if you need any help at all, the one thing that I've kind of have a small reputation for in the playgroup is to help people tune mana bases. So he asked me, hey, if we get a chance to sit down, I would really appreciate that, even in a two-color EDH deck, because I never feel like I have exactly what I want. So looking at someone else's tech really is something that gets me thinking in different ways about how deck construction can be done. Matt, what'd you do to get better at Magic this week?
Watch some Pro Tour and realize that pros make a lot of mistakes too. You know, usually when I'm watching this SCGs or the GPs, I see people making mistakes. I'm just like, and I've been on camera myself too, where I've made mistakes and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you made that mistake or I made that mistake or whatever. I'm never going to forget seeing Jerry T Grass of Darkness a 4/5 to absolutely no effect because he thought it was a 4/4. And he even said, he goes, yep, I screwed that one up. You know what he did? He rolled with it. Even once he won the Pro Tour, his expression didn't change. You know, I'm going to focus moving forward a little bit better, making sure that I don't go on tilt. And I don't go on tilt because other people do and make mistakes as well.
I don't remember who the producer or videographer was, but there was a great link in the Pro Tour coverage this weekend where famous players, big name pros, Marshall Sutcliffe sat down and talked about LSV, the worst plays they've ever made. And the theme of it was, cut yourself a break. This is the world's most complicated game. So
yeah, exactly.
I really appreciated that. Brian, what'd you do to get better?
The thing I did to get better, I think, was to realize just maybe a new role that I have in the Magic community here in Galesburg. I find myself every time I walk into my LGS is I'm always having a conversation about some topic that we discuss here on Tryhards from the week before, which makes me A, thrilled that people are listening, and B, a little worried that I just don't know what the hell I'm talking about sometimes because I'm trying to remember what we were talking about in the context of it.
Welcome to most of my life.
Yeah, right. Every time I go down there now, it's kind of a, hey, what's your take on this? Something from the show triggered this. Hey, you guys should talk about this. And so I'm finding myself to be an ambassador to Tryhards and an ambassador to the game, and kind of a, you know, they want my opinion on things. And part of me is like, guys, we produce content for the cast in Magic the Gathering. Yes, I understand that, but that in no way makes me an expert in the field. So, you know, part of it's just kind of like I shrug my shoulders. So there's that, and that's been really, really fun. I was able to make it down to the shop, not for any playing, just to do some trading and to just kind of talk shop with some of the guys and seeing what their thoughts are. And everybody's pretty happy with the state of Standard, which I was really, really happy about. This was pre-Pro Tour, of course. I'm going to head down tomorrow night and kind of continue that conversation, see if I can get some games in with Mono Red Burn. Can't wait to try that deck out for the first time myself, actually. Didn't really get better other than to realize just how bad I am at this game compared to those on the Pro Tour, because those guys are really, really good, and we cannot ever forget just how technical those plays are. And for everybody who's been, you know, focusing on that play that Hurley rightfully brought up by Jerry T, where he targeted a 4-5 with a Grasp of Darkness and things, I want you to not make that play after umpteen rounds of Magic with all these cameras and people surrounding you too. It's just not going to happen. You're going to make way worse mistakes, as we all are. We're watching something special with the skill level of these people, and we always have to remember that.
It was a whole lot of fun to watch the Pro Tour in Nashville this weekend. I hope you improve your play, hope you improve your outlook, and I hope you improve your contribution to the Magic community. That's really what we're after every week here on Tryhards. No, you brave souls, you made it to the end of another episode. We'll reward you next week with another episode of Tryhards.